Okay, Romans chapter 13, we'll pray. Father, we ask that, well, listen, here's the deal. It's your word, and we want to teach it as it is the word of God. The word judges us. We don't judge it. We don't sit all high and mighty over your word and vote whether it's actually your word or not. We've settled that in our minds and in our hearts a long time ago. So, Lord, those of us who love your word, instruct us and tell us the things you'd have us know, the practical, the everyday things. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, my goodness, what has Paul handed us here this morning? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. What are those, angels? What are those, dominions? What? No, government, oddly enough. He's saying, obey the government. He is. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves. I know you got the word damnation there. It means condemnation. If you speed and you're not obeying traffic laws, you don't end up in hell. You may end up with a ticket, but it's not damnation in the sense of eternally or anything like that. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. That's why we're talking about angels or principalities or dominions or angelic hosts or nothing like this. We're talking about rulers. They're not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power to that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same? For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Adam, you serious? Obey the government? Yes. Yes, I am serious. If that was the only thing, then we'd try to work our way around it. See if there's a loophole, right? But Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 2. You can turn there if you want, or just let me read it to you. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So both Peter and Paul agree, there's government over us, you obey. Now, the questions always come, and I will address some of the questions. What if the government is composed or comprised of, what if the person isn't worthy to be obeyed? What if he's a bad, bad person? In Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Basest there doesn't mean like first base, it means base, like depraved, rotten to the core, bad people. Now, I'm trying to think of a bad person in government. No, I can't even come up with one. You'll just have to use your own imagination. Names escape me right now. I can't even think. Well, there's a few out there I think we can all agree. Adolf Hitler. Am I going to get a lot of blowback from that? Am I going to get, you know, nasty emails? Well, Adam, Adolf was a little misunderstood. You got to give him the benefit. No. He was a bad guy, right? Listen, Paul wrote this at a time when the government was Nero. The government was Caesar Nero, you know, the one who set fire to Christians and used them to light up his garden parties, that Nero. You say, well, what if the government is made up of, or the guy at top has like diminished capacity intellectually. Again, I'm trying to think of a situation where, no, I can't come up with one. But you got to remember, Nero was insane. And Paul's saying, that don't matter. You got to obey the government. And everyone's there waiting for the other shoe to drop. Because you've heard me at times saying, listen, the government stops at the front door there. Oh, they can come in and worship with us. You know, the president, you're welcome. The Supreme Court, they can be here. They can tune in online. We're good. Any government official is welcome here. They want to bring their rules, their authority here? No. We'll obey them as much as we can in every way that we can. But sometimes, and this is the way it is, our obedience to God and the government crosses paths in a way that we can't obey both. Adam, can you give me, I don't want to hear your opinion, I want to hear a biblical example. Oh, good. How about Paul and Peter, who I just quoted from? Both end up as martyrs because they didn't obey the government. You know, in the early chapters of Acts, it's obvious. Paul's preaching to the Sanhedrin, the ruling body, come and say, you will not preach anymore in this name. He says, wrong answer. Guess again, we will, and we'll keep preaching, and you can't tell us no. And he let him even know how it was going to be. And they beat him and let him go, and he went right back in the temple precincts and started teaching Jesus Christ again. Sometimes the government tries to tell you something that is against the law of God. I can think of an example, okay? I don't want to be acute about this or anything else. I can think of an example. 10 years ago now, the Supreme Court said that homosexual marriage, it's in the Constitution, it's always been hiding right there. I don't know why you guys didn't see it. And it is the law of the land. Determined, decided law. And there's no religious exemption. You, as pastors, cannot say, I won't marry that homosexual couple. You've heard me talk about this. That just means it's when they start openly pursuing this and they start arresting pastors who won't, fining them or jailing them, that just means I'm subject to a big fine or jail. I've determined. That's all there is to it. Can I obey the government and God at the same time? Now listen, I don't care about your opinion. People come to me, oh, yeah, I think, you know, homosexual. Stop. We don't go by opinion. We're not polling the audience. We go by the word of God. He rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. I got the message. Maybe others are struggling with the concept. There's many passages. Now, people will accuse me of being a hater or a homophobe. I remember the first time I heard homophobe, and like, I'm not afraid of homosexual people. No. You're afraid that you are homosexual. I haven't stopped laughing over that one yet. Yeah, I'm struggling. I'm glad you brought that up. I really don't know, but anyway, the Bible says what the Bible says, and I have to go by that. So now I'm a hater. No, I like you do. I have friends, I have family members, homosexuals. We all do. Do you actively hate them? No, I got on my way to try to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have friends. I don't have a friend who's not a sinner of one kind or another. If I discriminated and said, You can't be my friend because you sin, I would have no friends. Or I couldn't even be friends with me. Oh, we love sinners. Jesus loves sinners. But we don't change it so that, okay, now everyone's not a sinner anymore. That's not helpful or good or wise or a benefit to anybody. So we follow the government insofar as we can. Adam, how do we know when it's time not to follow the government anymore and to, well, I gave you an example You know, the first time, I've never been through a pandemic before. I gave myself a hall pass. Maybe you guys are hard on me. Not really. I don't know anyone ever said anything anyway. But the church is closed down. You remember? You remember when I was speaking into a microphone into an empty room? Micah was here recording. Suze was around doing Suze stuff, cleaning and straightening and washing and like she does. And she'd finally come in and listen to me a little bit. And it was on YouTube, but nobody was here. And then we had the out in the parking lot church, car speaker church, you know, remember all that? And we went through all that stuff. And the governor finally relented and let churches open again. And I said, that will never happen again. That will never happen again. Government can't close the church. Why? God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But we're supposed to get together and love and admonish one another and build one another up. And ever the more as we see that day approaching. Clear scripture in my thinking. Now, if you have different ideas, this is America, do what you feel like you got to do. But we feel like we're going to do what God wants us to do, and that's how we're going to roll out. Now, how do I know if it's just not my... Listen, I've been no fan of this particular government, and that is national, both parties. That is local here in Maine. When I say government, I'm not talking about Fairfield Council or I don't know. Nobody's rubbed us the wrong way. I'm not going down that level. I'm just talking about local. I'm not a fan. So I don't know if it's just me being me, rebel at heart, or if it's what God has determined. How do I know the difference? How do you know the difference? How do you're gonna talk about paying taxes here next? You're gonna say, I don't think so. You know, isn't the 19th Amendment or some alleged amendment? And people go there and stuff like that. How do I know if it's me, just with my rebellious heart, or how do I know if I really have a? Well, one, prayerfully, you have the voice of the Holy Spirit in your head. In your heart, you can be led by clear scriptural teaching. But I think the most thing that, for my consideration is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your eminently reasonable. It's very reasonable because he bought you with a price. It's very reasonable that we do this. Now, I've done this. Lord, here's my... Ain't much, but you want it, you got it, okay? It's broke, it doesn't think clearly all the time, it's racked with sin, it's not much, but you want me, here I am. He does. He does. And I've given him me. That's one of those things, though. I don't know if it's a once-for-all time thing. I don't think it works that way, frankly. I think you have to keep offering yourself like you keep asking for the Spirit of God to fill you, to rule, to govern your life. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that what we're speaking about? God, is it your will that you keep this church open as the government says shut it down? Because your word says we're supposed to obey the government. What should I do? As I prayerfully give my body to the Lord, Lord, I'm all yours. I don't make decisions. I don't try to further my cause. What's my cause? To do God's cause. What's my will? To do God's will. I don't have an agenda. Well, I do. That's the problem. And as I try to figure out, Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, doesn't he have a say in it? I don't want to be like everybody else. We talked about that at length. I go out of my way not to be like all the people who don't impress me. I don't impress me. I don't want to be like just one of the, I don't want to be a clone. I don't want to be a cookie cutter like God just stamping out Christians. He loves the fact that we're unique individuals. He goes out of his way to make us, to give us all a thumbprint that nobody else not only has, ever has had, iris print that you can be. God loves difference. He's made so much difference. Now, two snowflakes of life. What is less important than a snowflake? And God goes out of his way to make differences. I love that. He's not trying to clone me. He wants me to be me. But with that, I have a problem, because I have a will and I have an idea how things should be. But I'm not going to be conformed to this world. I'm not going to be like everyone. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm going to use this book. It's going to come in here. It's going to come in here. It's going to get down here, and it's going to outwork here. And I'm going to try to, Lord, what do you want me to do? And that's how I know when to follow, when to obey, and when to say, uh-uh. And, you know, people say something. Let's just say a pastor says, I'm going to keep my church open. Like McClure there in California. Well, like a lot of people in California. And the fines were millions. Is that how we establish what God's will was in retrospect? In the rearview mirror, saying, well, I guess that wasn't God's will. We owe the government like $87 million now or whatever. We just go by verses and let chips fall where they may. And if I end up in prison and die there, you guys got to understand. I know you're thinking I'm just blowing smoke. It's Sunday morning. You're all fired up and you're speaking. No. If I end up in jail and doing prison ministry from the inside, I'll just say. And every time I think like that, I think, you know, that actually may happen. It's not a. There was one time I thought, like, no, not in America, not in my lifetime. Maybe, you know, in future, but now it's we see the way the world's shaping up. I tell Christians all the time, you know, they said, I can't wait till we return to normal. This is a new normal. It's going to be different than ever before. Brace yourself for impact. Christianity is not going to be okay. In many quarters, it's not okay now. But I'm a Christian. I love Jesus Christ. I have loved him. I love him. I will continue to love him. And there's nothing that anybody can do to change my mind about that. I've decided. Now, maybe you haven't come to that place yet. That's why we're talking. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. There is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained are ordained of God. The basis of men, remember? Even crazy people, remember? Well, what if he's not legitimate? What if he didn't really get all the votes he said he got? Or he got them by illegal means? How many of you have saw the video, the movie, 2,000 Mules by Dinesh D'Souza? Okay, me and my buddy there, who's another tinfoil hat wearer like myself. You should. It's very instructive. I believe from the movie, he proved to me that the vote count wasn't as legitimate as many of us suspected it wasn't. That said, who cares? These verses didn't dissolve when that happened. You know what I mean? There's still somebody who took an oath of office. Somebody is recognized as the president of the country. What happens when they get a new Supreme Court nominee and you don't like them? I remember, 4 years ago when Donald Trump was elected, and all the people who didn't like Donald Trump, hey, he's not my president. You really want to play that game? Because I thought that was unsavory then. I think it's unsavory now. I do. And there's no exceptions here is what I'm trying to say. There's no, well, he's not legitimate. He's not blah, 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 blah. No. Do all the laws you can do. And I've talked to Christians a lot. I don't want to pay taxes. I know Christians who jack deer. They're not the government's deer. They can't tell me. Stop it. Just stop it. Obey all the laws you can. And the time when you can't because of consciousness' sake, then you disobey. That's how I see it. I don't want to say it any other way. It's the law of the land. You can have an abortion. I know the Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade. Good. But it's not against the law in Maine to have an abortion. But you don't have to have one. And, like, there are those out there say, well, I think, you know, the people who do that, we should shoot them abortion doctors. Stop it. What are you... You're not of that spirit. You remember John, you know, and they're in... up in the Galilee there, talking to Samaria. And there, he looks like he's going to Jerusalem. And so they they weren't hospitable to him at all. And John's saying, should we call down fire on them? And Jesus is like, don't you know what spirit you are of? And I kind of feel, in my thinking, that's like, yeah, let's kill all the abortion doctors. No. You're not to judge evil. That is evil. Abortion's evil. If you've had one, you can come and talk to me about it and stuff like this. There's forgiveness. But those who perform that, let them die naturally. God will sort them out. You don't have to kill them early by misadventure. That's not how this works. There's no time in Scripture where it tells us to kill people who you perceive as evil. It just, there's no anything like that. So I've heard, you know, people talk like that and say like that, and I'm looking at this passage saying, no, I don't see anything like that. You resist the power, you resist the ordinance of God, and it's going to end up in condemnation. Rulers honor terror for good works, but to the evil. Say, well, that's not always the truth. And when it's not always the truth, you do still do the good works. I mentioned Adolf Hitler. He never would have come to power if the pulpits in Germany followed the word of God. Said, no. Adolf, no, final solution. No, get out of here with that stuff. You're cray cray. And brace for impact. If there's persecution, so what? You only go around once in life, and dying for Jesus is a good way to die. You have to figure that out. If you've got nothing worth dying for, you got nothing worth living for. By and large, rules are not a terror to good works. They don't generally arrest you for going the speed limit, is what he's saying here, okay? If you don't steal anything, you generally don't get arrested for taking something. Rules on a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Easy enough. He is the minister of God. The guy who pulled you over because you're going too fast, he's the minister of God. Absolutely, positively, he's minister. We can't just all drive like crazy people. There has to be rules out there. We have to drive on a certain side. Imagine just like no rules on the highway. I know, right? A lot of people drive like that anyway. Not us. She was teasing me for driving so slow on the way here this morning because I'm never in a rush. I always leave early. I'm never in a rush. Everyone on the way to work passes me. I pass hardly anybody. But I was doing 60 miles an hour, right, on the way here. I was well within the law. I wasn't disobeying any laws. She was giving me grief, like, you drive so slow. I'm like, oh, well. But that's not against law. You know, 80's against law. And, you know, at 75, they won't stop. Even at 78, 79, they don't really say anything. Like, is that how we're going to bend the law? We're only going to steal a little bit? I mean, hey, listen, do what you got to do. But I'm just thinking, like, laws are there for a reason. Let's obey them. I don't have generally a problem with obeying the law. Again, when I can't, I won't, but in the interim, I'll obey all the laws I can. He's the minister of God to thee for good. If thou do that, and I'm not saying I never got a speeding ticket. I think I've got three of them. Maybe you got more, I don't know. That's over the years. So I'm not saying I'm without sin in this area. I'm just saying this is what Scripture says. If I wait for my life to line up with Scripture, I never teach anything, okay? So just remember that. He's the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. The sword, instrument of death. He's not roughing you up with the sword. He's cutting your head off. Paul would be beheaded for not obeying these passages that he wrote. Later on, he is beheaded because he promotes the worship of Jesus Christ. Okay? And Nero said, yeah, we can't have that going around. And Nero took his head off. Is this talking about capital punishment? We can talk about it more on Wednesday, and we will. Capital punishment is clearly taught in Scripture. Now, you say, yeah, but we can put them in jail and, you know, let them die the natural death and God sort them out and stuff like this. That's not understanding what's given to us in the book of Genesis when God sets that up. He says, by man shall man's blood be spilled. If somebody kills somebody. We're not talking, they had all the same stuff we have. Accidental homicide where you run somebody over. Do you need to be put in the electric chair for accidentally killing? No, you do not. They had all those same categories. Cold-blooded murder. I've determined I'm going to take your life. You know, try to hide the body. You're exposed. That's capital crime. Here in America, in Maine, you can't, it doesn't matter. You can kill 80 people. As many as you can get. And they'll throw you in jail forever. I'm not a fan of capital punishment. I just see it's, I'm persuaded by Scripture that it's necessary. That's all I'm saying. I'm not like, hey, let's stack them up like cordwood. I'm not a crazy, let's get that electric chair going round the clock. We'll just rush them in there, strap them on. Psh, and if we get a couple extra ones innocent, we tried. All the things that we do that we, you know, where people have an opportunity to, no, I was framed, this and that. Yeah, those are fine. That's fine. But at the end of the day, I think we need to have capital punishment. He's talking about, be afraid, he doesn't bear the sword in vain. He's a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And we got to be subject, not only because of that wrath, but also for conscience sake. I want to have a clean conscience. I want to sleep well. I want to be obedient. I want to tell you to obey the law, and I want to tell you that by not being a lawbreaker or a scofflaw of my own self. Conscience is an important thing. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. That means taxes. They are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, that's tolls, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I don't know, any questions? It's as straightforward as here we are at tax time. Did our taxes? Monday night, I was nervous. We had some financial things happen this year that haven't happened in the past, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to write out a big check. No, I got a small rebate come back from state, and small rebate come back from federal. Whew, put that behind me. And I didn't even have to lie. It's wonderful. I get one of those programs, and pay your taxes. You say, hey, Adam, I looked it up. Tax Independence Day is April 18th this year. You know what Tax Independence Day is? Okay. You're working for almost 4 months before you realize the first dollar you've earned. The rest goes to Uncle Sam. Either in the local, you know, and they can't really tell you exactly when it is because it's different in every state, depending on how much state tax you pay. And on a federal level, you know, money's going to the Fed, and they are doing crazy things. You know, I don't pay taxes because you know what they do? They take my money and they give it to countries who hate us. Or they'll pay for abortions, or they'll buy some needle exchange for junkie program. Yeah, whatever. I don't cotton to this. I don't want them. You're not responsible for how they spend your money. You have to vote these people in or out of office if you don't like what they're doing. That's how the thing works. That's how it's set up. And I'm okay with that. I've been paying taxes my whole adult life, and they've never used it, as far as I'm concerned, for a good thing. That doesn't indemnify us from paying taxes. Again, they take our money and they use it stupidly or steal it or embezzle or whatever. These verses don't evaporate. It says, for this cause pay ye tribute also, because they're God's ministers. And government works on money. I wish there were a lot less government. We don't need the government we have. Thomas Jefferson, God bless him, said, the government that governs least governs best. Now, I know a lot of people love big government. The bigger, the better. I always wondered about that. And then somebody explained, you'll trust in God. or you'll trust in government. You need somebody. You need a big brother. You need somebody to reach out to. You need somebody who's watching over you. Yeah, I think that's true. I have God. I don't need Uncle Sam from the womb to the tomb taking care of me. God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I like God. The government, not always a big fan, as we all know. Because I talk to you guys, and sometimes you'll be honest, and you're not always a big fan either. And I think the government is way bloated, way over. That's fine. That said, pay your taxes. These words that don't evaporate because we don't like the way they use our taxes. Render all to their due. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Don't owe anybody anything, okay? I don't get back taxes, you know, from 12 years ago and I'm trying to settle with the IRS. No. Not only taxes, don't owe anybody anything. Now, this means you can't borrow money, right? Some people have said that. Some people say that. And they use these verses. I don't think that's what it says. You can't have a mortgage on your house. You have to build as you go. Some people believe that. But if you can't build a house, then you got to live in a hole in the ground. I don't know. You know what I mean? No, I think this isn't saying you can't have a mortgage. The church had a mortgage when we first. Well, yeah, no. I mean, where you are now, I think it was a $250,000, $300,000. It's a big number. Do you remember? Three? I think so, too. We paid it off last January, 2022, I believe. Maybe it's 2021. So we don't have it now. We own this place, lock, stock, such as it is. And there's land that goes with it and stuff like that, too. We had a mortgage, or, you know, we paid the owner a certain amount a month, and it got paid off. Yay. I don't think I was going against conscience. Owe no man anything but to love one another, I think is the point being made here, okay? Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. By the way, what do we need to fulfill the law for? That's a Wednesday night question, so you can be ready. I'm not going to cover it right now. I'll show you some verses which says, hey, we're not under the law. So now we're talking about fulfilling the law. But we are in this. Verse 9, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment. Well, there are a lot of other commandments, by the way. What happened to don't take the Lord's name in vain? Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Don't have any idols in your life. What happened to all that? I think he's just purposefully talking about what we call horizontal commandments, commands between people, okay? I think he's just focusing on that. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Because if you love your neighbor like you love yourself, if you really, truly, in God's way, love your neighbor, you're not going to have adultery with them. You're not going to steal from them. You're certainly not going to kill them. You're not going to lie about them, bear false witness, right? And you won't covet their stuff. If they got stuff, you're going to be very happy that they got stuff. My neighbor's got a new house. My friends, my brother, he got a new house. Oh, it's a beautiful house. I'm so happy for him. Oh, it's better than my house. Wait a second. Oh, I'm jealous. He shouldn't have a good house. I should have it. Stop it. We're not covetous. God has blessed us abundantly. We're not those people. We love one another. So we want the best for one another. And we don't want to sin against our neighbor. We don't want to, like I say, we don't want to steal from them. We don't want to murder them. If you love, like God says what you're supposed to love, all these other things take care of themselves. People ask me about the law, you know, you think it's right to do this, right? Look, Jesus said this, a new commandment I give to you, right? And I'm sure like Matthew's like, oh, new commandment. He gets his pen out. He's sharpening it furious. He dips in ink. Okay, new commandment. Let's go. I want you to love one another. And they're saying, boss, you gave us that one already. This isn't so new. And Jesus say, yeah, but this, you get this done. Do this one thing. Make sure this. This is how they can know you, my disciples, the love you have for one another. Is this true of our lives? And I'm not trying to be condemnation guy. You know, I'm not condemnation pastor. Is this true of our lives? Do they know that we're his disciples because we love one another? God help us. But all the other stuff is going to take care of itself. We love God supremely. So much so, I've given you my whole everything, God. I can't even give anything more than me. I love my neighbor. I prefer them. Their needs are more important than my needs. My church family, what they want is more important than what I want. I've given of myself. I pour myself out like a drink offering. I just want what's best for them. I pray for them. I think about them all the time. I hang with them and everything else. And it's just like, I'm going to steal your stuff when you ain't looking. Do you see how unlikely that is? How that's not even going to, it's not even going to come up on the radar at all. No, I'm going to fiercely protect your stuff. I'm not going to take it. That's crazy talk, right? If we love like we're supposed to love, everything else takes care of itself. The problem is, and the problem always is, when I love me more than I love you, I can justify myself. Well, he left that there. I guess he doesn't really care that much about it. And I need one of those. And now I'm all selfish and I'm thinking about myself and I'm not thinking about you. And you spent your hard-earned money to get that thing. And I don't care about returning it to you. I care about me. I'd rather have it than I'd rather see you have it. I'm not loving at all. That's the problem. That's the problem. We don't love like we should. And when we love, all the other stuff works itself out. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The law that we don't have to keep, it doesn't get us to heaven. That law. But you think about, I'd like to do my best at it anyway. I mean, I don't want to steal and kill and do mayhem, right? Well, here's what you got to do. Love one another. And that, the reason we want to do that is knowing that the time is now, it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night, it's far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. And he's going to show you in verse 13 and 14 what that looks like. You say, Adam, come on, really? The night's far spent. It's daytime. The time is now, it's a high time to wake out of your sleep. Our salvation is nearer than when we first, really? How about 2,000 years ago he wrote that? What was he talking about? What was he, I'll give you a couple more that you want to ponder while we're on the subject. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But Paul wrote that also. So Paul's timing is way off. That's the problem I'm having, you're saying. Well, consider what James says. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. So he's talking about the Lord's return. He's saying, chill, be patient. First Peter, it's not just Peter and it's not just Paul and James, it's also Peter. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Peter talks a lot about the return of the Lord, by the way. The author of Hebrews, who I think is Paul, but maybe you disagree, he writes, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. What day? The day of Jesus coming back. You know why we hang out and why we go to church? Because one, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But we understand. We don't get all the time in the world to do this because Jesus is coming back. And that's what this author of Hebrews is saying. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Jesus himself chimes in. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Quickly, Lord, it's been 2,000 years. You got to remember, by the way, too, a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Say, Jesus, you've been gone 2,000 years. What do you mean? I've been gone 2 days. I mean, think about it. That's how it works, right? You say, yeah, but it doesn't work that way from our perspective. He's been gone a long time. He's coming back. Listen, Paul lives with the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's the only logical, right, clear-thinking way to live. The Bible talks about those who say, the Lord's not returning, the Lord's not returning, and they get drunk, and specifically he uses that phrase. I'm not saying that's what he says. The Lord's delayeth his coming, and they drink, and they abuse their servants, they do all this stuff because Jesus isn't coming back anytime soon. What kind of way is that for a Christian to live? Paul's saying, no, he's showing up. You gotta put away, walk honestly as in the days, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, nor in strife and envying. So you say his timing is off. No, I don't think that's how it works at all. I think it's the idea, like, remember, Paul's the one who said, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, the voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall arise first. You know the passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, talking about the rapture. Dead in Christ rise first. Then what does he say? Then we that remain and are alive shall be caught up with them. Paul put himself in the rapture. Well, he's going to be in the rapture. He's going to be the dead in Christ that rise first. But he put himself in the category that we who are alive and remain. Paul thought he was going to be alive and remain when Jesus Christ came back. He's off by 2,000 years. But he wasn't off in his theology at all, even a little bit. You live like he's going to show up anytime. That's the right way to think. That's the right way to be. You could say, oh, it's been 2,000 years, if you want, but the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Put off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. We're people who walk in the light. We don't walk in the darkness. We know that it's the time, it's high time to wake out of sleep. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And that is obviously and evidently true. I'm 40 years closer to the return of the Lord than when I first believed. And because of this, knowing he can show up any time, verse 13, be honest. Walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. It's talking specifically about sex sin. Not in strife and envying. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about wearing him like a coat. Just like putting on Jesus Christ. Being arrayed in Christ. I don't even know what that means. You know what I mean? I could define that, but I'd rather you define it in your own life. And I think it'll be a beautiful thing, by the way, when you do. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not make provision for the flesh. This is what it's talking about here, provision. Don't plan. Don't make plans regarding your flesh. She's gone later on. I'm going to turn on the TV. I'm going to watch some stuff that I probably shouldn't be watching, that no man of God has any right watching. I'm making my plan. I'm planning my plan. It's always sinister. Don't do that. Make no provision for the flesh. As a matter of fact, some of us have made provision how we're not going to cater to these deeds of the flesh. How am I going to, she's going to be gone for a week. She's going off to the East Coast Pastors Wives Conference. She's going to be gone 3 days. What am I going to do? I'm all by myself. I'm going to be, oh my goodness, I can't be involved in anything I shouldn't be involved in. Well, how am I going to make sure that we make plans to not entertain the flesh? That's what godly men do. And it's saying here, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no plan for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I'd be discouraged if I went to church past the lust was pastoring over. I'd be very discouraged about that. I don't want to be that type of church. I don't want to be that man of God. I don't want to say one thing. Guys, lust is going to kill you, and then be lust guy. No, we make no provision. We make no plan. We We live the honest, the daylight life. We're not sinister, lurking in the shadows, secret agenda, everything's, you know, got a double meaning, everything. No, we don't live like that at all. We're men of God. We're out there. We're bold. We let everyone know. It's the only way to live. It's the only way to be. All right. That's it. I ran out of verses. We just have to end there. Worship team coming. No, he's coming quickly. Today? Well, I don't know that. Maybe. I don't want him to catch me doing anything that I would be so shamefaced. I'd be so embarrassed. Like, I just want him. I want him to, you know, I want him to come back when I'm doing this, when I'm worshiping, when me and my wife are holding hands in prayer and just pouring out our hearts to the Lord. I want him to come back when I'm telling somebody else about Jesus, when I'm just living when I'm at work, working hard for Jesus Christ. I want to be an honorable, good, decent human being and have him catch me being an honorable, decent, godly human being. Let's pray. Stand. Well, your word is eminently practical. Obey the government, pay taxes, expect your soon return, and live like you're coming back. We got the download. Easy enough to know. Not quite as easy to do. Lord, fill us with your spirit. And Lord, again, you know, we lay our all on the altar, not holding back anything. We're not people of an agenda. Our will is to do your will. Help us, Lord, to be those men, those women. And Lord, make the changes in us necessary to bring about that in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Lord, make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.